All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is June 20th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it's amazing wherever you are at. It is Tuesday. Back to the grind. Sort of taking a little bit of a break from doing the podcast. Just had a lot of stuff going on. Yeah, I had Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. And yeah, it was a great weekend. It was kind of a unique weekend for me, other than for the fact that my wife actually had to, she didn't have to, she got to, right? She went to Maryland with my daughter and did a horse show. And then my son, my oldest son, he's just, you know, sort of doing his own thing. And then my other son was at his mom. So I sort of had the whole weekend by myself. I mean, literally by myself. They all left. And the funny thing is it was Father's Day weekend. So, which honestly was almost a perfect Father's Day gift, right? I mean, I love family, right? I love my family. I love my kids. But it's something nice to have a couple days to just kind of hang out. And, you know, didn't do anything unique or special. Just sort of did my same old thing. But it was sort of, it was great. You know, I guess it, you know, maybe for the first couple hours, you're like, yeah, man, no bosses, right? Nobody telling me what to do. And then the rest of the time, you're just full of gratitude and miss all the wonderful things that you have in your life and your family and really start to appreciate them. And that's exactly what happened. You know, I, like every couple, right, we, you know, we're running a business, right? Running a business of raising this family. And it can be tough, but when you have a couple days apart and then you get to come back together, you're like, oh my gosh, I really have such a great life and a great wife. And so that's sort of what happened. But I've also just been doing a lot of other stuff. You know, I've been paddling, right? So I'm not going to make this about paddling, but I'm just really digging it, right? Digging it. So I've done that a couple days, got to enjoy, you know, some of the great areas around where I live. I mean, I live at the beach. I don't live on the beach, but I actually live farther away from the beach than I used to. We used to live pretty close. We're not far, but you know, we're in a beach community, and there's a lot of cool stuff that happens around a beach community, right? Whether it's, you know, in the water, on the beach, the restaurants around the beach, all sorts of different stuff. Our whole area really changes come June, July, August, September. I mean, a lot of restaurants that are on the canal and the Lewis, you know, really open up, you know, windows up, you know, it's on, right? This is our season. So just been enjoying some of that stuff. The paddling has allowed me to be more in the water at the beach than I typically would have. We are definitely, or we used to be, definitely a beach-going family. We would try to go to the beach on the weekends, definitely on Sundays. We would try to hit both days, get down there in the morning, hang out for a few hours, and then get out of there. And we used to go down with my in-laws. And after COVID, man, everything sort of has changed, at least for us. And that's on our fault, right? It's not COVID's fault. Something sort of happened with us that we just haven't been to the beach, right? I think we went once last year. I told my wife we really need to get to the beach, right, this year. We love the beach. Maybe because we got a pool now in our development that we can use, which is very nice. Very grateful for that. And maybe just being a little farther out of town. But, you know, we have become like a lot of small towns, right? Towns that identified as small have really grown, right? I wouldn't say we've doubled, but we have a lot of new people that live in our area. So it's just creating a lot more traffic and, you know, it's not weighing like it used to, right? So one of the great things about doing the paddling is that I'm down at the beach and at the ocean twice a week in the ocean. I was swimming in the ocean the other day. Just amazing, the power of the ocean. And I think I shared this the other day, just how interesting it is to be kind of paddling across the surface of a body of water that is so vital to our planet, right? And just to jump into it and to kind of have it on you. And, you know, I love to kind of squat down in the water and just watch and feel like as a wave, you know, just passes over and through me. It's just, it's really magical. And so blessed to be part of that group and getting to do that stuff. My wife told me yesterday, she said, I could start bringing the kids down when you paddle. We can just hang out on the beach. I was like, that would be awesome, right? I would love that. So hopefully we'll start doing that. But yeah, a little breakup in the steps, right? Like I said, I haven't done the podcast in a bit. Sort of, I had to take a little bit of a break. I think I did a bunch right away at the end of the last time I was doing them, and I think I burned myself out. You start wondering, what are you doing, Tom? You know, so I had to take a little break, refresh. It is a new week. We are back to doing a new step. Got a little confused the last couple of weeks because we were doing the sixth step and a newcomer had come in and we reverted back to the first step, which I think is very important. You know, always we should do that. I would hate for a new person coming to their first meeting or trying to figure out what recovery is or, you know, what it's about. Having to sit and listen to the sixth step, right? They'd be like, what in the hell? So usually I know our group, most groups will, if something like that does occur, we try to revert back to the first, right? You know, because the first step is the key one, right? And so, but what was weird is I thought the following week we would pick up where we had left off on six, but we just skip it, right? One replaced six, so now last week we did seven, which, you know, seven is a great step. Oh, jeez. Hold on. All right, I'm back. Sorry. My buddy Timmy C. calling from Baltimore. What's up, Tim? So, what was I saying? The seventh step. So we skipped it. No, we skipped the sixth, went to the seventh. I don't even know if I did a podcast about the seventh step. It's, you know, the seventh step. Six and seven are huge, right? They're big, you know, dropping the rock, you know, dropping those character defects, really trying to figure out, you know, what it is that I continue to do that didn't magically disappear with me putting down alcohol, right? So just working on those character defects. My buddy Matt used to say step seven is where we stop sealing the Wawa sugar packets. I've said that a few times. It made a lot of sense to me. You know, I'm not a thief today, right? But I will fill my pockets with sugar from Wawa. And so it's just like I'm 80% not a thief, right? It's just trying to clear up, I think, for me, is that last 20%. I've heard people have different opinions about the sixth and seventh. Somebody says that character defects and shortcomings are the same things. I do not believe that. I do think that you can clear up a character defect, but if you're falling short just a little bit, you've done a lot of good work. But it's that last, you know, the last 5% is what people notice, right? I always say you can do an amazing haircut, but if you don't trim the ear hairs, right, that's all the people notice. Or if I, you know, miss the neck, that's all. They don't pay attention to any of the other work, just the part that I missed. And that's sort of what I feel when it comes to, you know, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. That is, you know, that's digging in deep, right? And so that, you know, leads us to the eighth step, right? And the eighth step was today, or was yesterday. We read it last night. And the eighth step, it said, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. You know, this is a, to me, this eighth step is one of those steps that a person like myself, who is a people pleaser, right, who's done a lot of damage, right, upset a lot of people, this is one of those steps that I was ready to roll up my sleeves and just dive in.
Oh,
Yeah. Sing It, Eddie. Pearl Jam. That is MFC. Great album. Pearl Jam. What is that? Yield, I guess. That was off Yield. But yeah. So, you know, the eighth step, you know, made a list of all persons we had harmed and made direct amends to them all. I was so ready to apologize, ready. I was so ready to say I'm sorry, right? I was, you know, I was one of these guys that finally was able to put down the drink and I just wanted to make it all better, right? I just wanted to fix every bridge, you know, mend every relationship, apologize, throw my guts on the floor, right? I'm so sorry. I'm, you know, because honestly, that guy was not really me. I mean, it was me. I was there. I would have done, you know, any sentence of time was sentenced to me had I gotten in any more trouble. But that guy wasn't me, right? You know, when that demon, right, that disease was forced out of me and I was left with the guy who had sort of walked up into this whole thing, you know, however, 16 years ago, you know, pretty innocent. I just wanted to clean it up, and I wanted to clean it up quickly. And, you know, a lot of people say they do it. They came into the two-step, right? You admit you were drunk, and then you want to fix everybody. And that's sort of how I want to fix everybody, and I definitely want to fix myself. And but what I said last night, you know, this is to me, you know, making amends, this is always about willingness, right? It's about, for me, it's also about accountability. I had a lot of trouble doing this step when I was going through the steps, right? Made a list of all persons we had harmed. Well, if I'm going to get, you know, back to reality, the reality is that I'm a self-centered person who is deficient in humility. I only think about myself. So how could anybody hurt me when all I'm doing is, or how could I hurt anybody when all I'm doing is thinking about myself, right? So I had to think, oh, who did I hurt? Because I didn't pay attention. All I care about what I was doing. So, I mean, it was easy to, you know, my parents, right? It was easy to put anybody that had sort of been around me in the last year and that I'd had some sort of social encounter with, like the guy I worked for, my parents, the people that lived above me. But to actually make a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all, I had a lot of trouble with that. So what I had to sort of do was make a list of people that had harmed me. Now, I don't know if this makes any sense, but when you're a self-centered person like I am and you have zero accountability, everything that happens to me is somebody else's fault, right? I've shared about this a few times. It's sort of weird. I'll do the best I can to sort of explain it. But when when you're self-centered like I am, I'm not accountable for anything. I take zero responsibility. You know, if I crash my car, I'm like, well, who put the fucking wall there, right? If someone punches me in the face, why would that guy punch me? These are the getting punched in the face. I've been punched in the face two times. I've been punched in the face three times, right? The first time I got punched in the face was because I was dating a girl who was immature like myself. I think we were like 15 or 16. And she had told a guy that I had said something because she was mad at me. And I think the guy liked her. So in turn, he sucker punched me, right? And I sort of was a victim of that. I didn't really, the guy that punched me, and him and I were friends. We had been friends. We lived in the same neighborhood. We grew up together. But you know what happens when you're 15 and 16 and you start, you know, finding girls to be interesting and, you know, all that stuff. You get a little crazy. And, you know, she sort of tricked him and said that I had said something, which I didn't. And so he punched me. But then the second time I got punched was when I got sober. No, the second time I got punched was when I was in San Diego. And my buddy Rob and I had gone into a house looking for drugs or alcohol or something. And this guy punched me. And I carried that around as a victim of that, right? I'm going to make a list of all people that had harmed me. That guy had harmed me, right? The guy that punched me in Albuquerque, that guy had harmed me, right? And then the last time I had been punched, hopefully it's the last time. It's not fun. Was in 1997 when I got sober. I was a victim of that, right? Oh, my God. So the list of people that had harmed me, right? So we got the one guy, Cam was his name. The second guy, I don't remember his name. And the third guy, I never knew his name, right? But these are all three people that had harmed me. That list is easy to make. The problem is that list is only that only works if you're not taking accountability for your actions, right? So let's take the first one. I had done nothing to get to get punched, but I will say that we were hanging out at a house, right? We're all drinking, right? We're all drunk, hanging out. This guy goes, "Hey, come! I want to show you something on my car." I followed him out there, and then he sucker punched me. It wasn't cool, Cam. Not cool. But I was there, right? I was there partying. I mean, I could have avoided it by not going. You know, I think you'll find that I in this sort of process, I tend to blame everything that's happened to me on myself. Maybe the amount of blame is greater or less, but it is at some point. Because I always say, if my feet are there, I played a role in it, right? So my feet were there. I did play a role. Because the point is that I want to forgive, right? And I do forgive Cam. I forgave him. It turns out that she was lying just to aggravate him, to be mad at me because her and I were dating. It's you know, freshman high school bullshit. But, I wanted to forgive him, and I do forgive him. The second time the guy punched me at the house, you know, for a long time I was a victim of that. And then I finally was like, you know, Tom, you shouldn't have been there. Right, we had walked into this guy's house. We didn't ring a doorbell. We just walked in. It's sort of how life was in San Diego up in North County. It's just like open doors. People just kind of came and went drinking and doing whatever they were doing. And we had walked in. Did he need to punch me? No. But we had walked in. He punched me. You know, what part did I play? Shouldn't have been in this house, right? I shouldn't have been in this house. So that's another person that had harmed me, right? And then the last guy to punch me was at the bar, and, you know, I was running my mouth like a psychopath. You know, I needed to be punched in the mouth, and he did. And but I was a victim of that. I can't believe that guy did that, right? So it's easy for me to make a list of all people that have harmed me, right? But if I take a good look at each incident, I realize that I absolutely played a role in that, right? I was absolutely at fault. So this turns out to be actually three people that I had harmed, right? It didn't feel that way for a long time, right? It felt like justified resentments for those three people were justified, but they're not, right? Because I do not want to be a victim. Like my buddy Matt used to say, I am not a victim. I am not a victim today. I am not. All three of those incidents, and that's just three of many, right? I had trouble making a list of people that I had harmed because I was too busy paying attention to myself. But when I got sober, got some clean time, worked with a great sponsor, read this step over and over and been working on it, I started to realize that it's my fault. And what does that give me? What is that me throwing my hands up and saying, fine, it's my fault. You got me, right? You got me. Actually, I was as much of a surprise as the rest of us, to be honest with you. I really felt like I was a victim. But what does that get me? What does that allow me to have happen? And the first thing it allows me to do is forgiveness. First, the thing it allows me to do is to be accountable, right? I just have to take responsibility for these actions. So first one is taking responsibility. And then the second one is to have healing, right? Because, you know, three situations that all to me look like I deserved an apology after I've rung it through the 8-step ringer and talked to a sponsor. In turn, it turns out that I should be giving these three people an apology. What does that give me? Closure, right? Healing, right? Listen, Tom, you did this. This is your own fucking fault. I apologize to you guys. Hey, please forgive me. That was all my fault, right? Hit me, don't hit me, I don't care. I apologize. I should never been there. I got what I got, right? And I apologize. And I hope you can forgive me, right? And we can have closure, right? We can heal, right? Because until then, it's just open, right? It's just an open fucking wound. And, you know, it's like when you have, like, it's like getting sunburned, right? And you get these bad sunburns, and then you have all these patches of peels, and the peeling parts, and you're like, you pull on parts over here, right? And you pull on parts over here. And it's just always something, right, that you got to fuck around with, skin and injuries. And but when you have healing, you have closure, and then you can just move on, right? And just try to not do it again. I find it a lot easier to try to not do something again if I can figure out how I was responsible for doing it in the first place. I have trouble not doing something over again if it was somebody else's fault, right? Because that just is like, well, shit, that was that guy's fault. I don't know what, right? It's a scapegoat, right? It's a cop-out. So when this step for me, when I started to understand, you know, that most of the things, the people that I had harmed me, turns out I had harmed them, really, it sort of opened my whole eyes to the whole freaking program, right? I said last night in the meeting, I came in here because I drank and got caught at it too much, right? I would love to feel like I came to this program because I had just had enough. I didn't. I got caught too much, right? March 31st, 1997, I got sober. March 30th, I could have cared less. I like to get drunk and then boo-hoo about it, right? Oh, I need to get sober. I got no life. Ooh. But I didn't think about that during the day, right? Or I wouldn't have picked up the drink to get me back into the place where I'd gotten to. So, you know, I was a self-centered person who drank a lot. And on March 31st, when the alcohol was removed, I was just a self-centered person. That was it. But the big problem, the problem that, you know, got me stitches, that got me in trouble, was gone. So I was really trying to figure out what my whole point of this was in the first place, right? I'm trying to figure out, well, what do I do now? Because I'm not drinking, right? I was completely blind and unaware of my actual condition, which was that I was a self-centered person. Self-centered. And that's what this program needed. I needed to work a program to try to fix that. At least, I don't think I can fix it, right? I think, and you know what's weird, as self-centered as I am, right, as bad as I was, I'm sort of still like that, right? But today, I try to think it through, right? I'm always going on my second thought, right? I've sort of been a little bothered by this, too, is that, you know, my first thought is never really great. It's never really great. Sometimes I'll have a good one, but for the most part, it's never really great, and I have to go on the second or even the third thought, right? You know, the other day I was driving, and this guy was like all on my ass behind me, and I was like, why? Right? Why? What's up? And I just felt like sticking my freaking finger out the window and just flipping him the bird all the way up the road, but I didn't, right? I didn't do it. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll just flip him off through my, you know, back window. I didn't, right? I chose not to. But that's a self-centered thought, right? That is a guy who's thinking about doing something without even considering the repercussions. One being the guy could fucking pull me over and kill me, right? Kick my ass. Fourth punch, right? I apologize. I flipped him off, right? But it's just, you know, it's not worth it, right? It's just not worth it. I have such a simple life today, and it's all because of the second and third and fourth and fifth thought, right? Because as, you know, even though I haven't had a drink for a long time, I'm still sort of pre-programmed as a self-centered person, you know, with a deficiency in humility. And so everything I have to do is really about that second thought, trying to be the best that I can with the minimum amount of outbursts. And it's tough. But this step is huge for me. This step was a big deal. And like I said last night, I had a lot of trouble making a list of all people that I had harmed. I didn't notice, right? I only noticed my parents and close friends because they told me, right? But I didn't pay attention to anybody else. How could I? I was too busy thinking about myself. And to have that light turned on and be like, oh. So if you're struggling with this step, make a list of all the people that have harmed you. Right? To make a list of all the fucking the characters out there that have screwed you over, right? I've just listed three. There's many of them, right? There was many of them in my life. And when I sat down and made the list of all the people that had harmed me, and then I sort of flipped it and tried to figure out what part did I play in that harm coming to me. Turns out it's a whole list of all the people that I had harmed, right? Victims never get better, right? Alcoholics can get better by how? Putting down alcohol. Self-centered people can get it better by hopefully finding humility, right? Victims never get better because they're not accountable and they have zero humility. They're just a victim. And we don't want to be victims, right? We don't want, I'm not putting down drugs and alcohol and being some miserable victim for the rest of my life. Clean that shit up. Look at every situation that comes up. You know, maybe you have a list of all people we had harmed and been harmed by, right? And maybe it all ends up being one list, but, you know, take a look at it. It really shines a little light on why and who the people that I know, for at least me, that I really am. And that's not a great guy. I'm better. I mean, listen, I was a nice person. I just cared about myself more than anybody else. All right, let's see if we can do, let me do a quick reading. And then, does that make any sense? It sure did to me. It sure did to me. And I hope it does to you. Because what do we want, man? We want some peace of mind. We want some healing. We want some closure, right? Let's see. Daily reflections. I'll accept that. All right, here we go. June 20th, release from fear. The problem of resolving fear has two aspects. We shall have to try for all the freedom from fear that is possible for us to attain. Then we shall need to find both the courage and grace to deal constructively with whatever fears remain. That's as Bill sees it, page 61. Most of my decisions were based on fear. Alcohol made my life easier to face, but the time came when alcohol was no longer an alternative to fear. One of the greatest gifts in AA for me has been the courage to take action, which I can do with God's help. Yeah, you know, I feel like, you know, anytime you're trying to look at a list, you know, a list of people that harmed us and trying to convert it over to a list of people we had harmed, I think that's building a relationship with a higher power. Anything positive, trying to do something to make us feel better or get better, right, to me is a relationship with a higher power. After 5 years of sobriety, I had to deal with a heavy dose of fear. God put the people in my life to help me do that, and through my working the 12 steps, I am becoming the whole person I wish to be, and for that, I am deeply grateful. Yeah, you know, it's a weird, getting sober, working a program, going to meetings, it's a weird kind of thing because on one hand, we're sort of kind of put on the quick path to do these steps, right? I mean, some people do them in recovery, in a rehab, right? I could not tell you what these steps meant for the few years, right? I could read them, right? And I would have a conversation about them, but I didn't understand, right? And this is a great, step eight's a great example. How many people did I harm? I didn't really harm many people, right? That would have been my answer. I didn't harm that many people. Maybe my parents, right, and my boss. But I had my head too far up my ass to really see what the real truth was. And so over time, right, I've been doing this 97. I've been doing this a long time, working on it. You know, I did drink a couple times there in the middle, but still went to meetings, right? Been going to meetings. Been working hard at it. And just starting to understand some of this stuff. It's not easy to get to the core that quickly. It takes a lot of work. So keep working at it, right? Just keep going to meetings. Keep working with the sponsor. If you're new, do night. Go to a meeting every day. Do two a day, right? Don't worry about these steps. You know, just let the fog clear a bit, right? Just, you know, I always tell my friends if someone's trying to get sober, I said just pay attention to the voice because, you know, I do believe that there's a demon in all of us, right? Some worse than others. And you got to try to balance it with some humility, some God. And being able to say, hey, maybe that was my fault is exactly that, right? That is finding humility. Hey, I hope you have a great day. Thanks for letting me share. And we'll catch up with you later. Bye.